would just like to let you know about at this time. I want to give you an update on the process of appointing additional elders. We have met and talked with all of the nominees who were submitted, and at this time, Josh Mueller is the one nominee who is willing to pursue this role as elder. We have had in-depth conversation with Josh concerning his role and feel confident that he can fulfill this role within our body and serve in this capacity. Over the next 2 weeks, we welcome any input that any member has concerning Josh in this role. So we want to keep you posted all along the way.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from my fears. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from my fears. I'm not scared here. I'm not scared here. I'm not scared here. I'm not scared.
Morning, guys. That was much better than last week. As you can tell this morning, I'm feeding back pretty bad. Let me find a happy spot. From what you can tell from the video and from our bulletin, this week we are going to be journeying through the Lord's Prayer. And before we do so, we do need to make one quick correction to a slot in the bulletin. It's in there that next week we're going to have a town hall meeting. That town hall meeting has been postponed again. But next week, our summer classes will begin. Dave Dinsmore is teaching a class on James. It's an intergenerational men's class that will be upstairs in room 7B. And Miss Mary Sue will be teaching a summer intergenerational ladies' class in the fellowship hall. So next Sunday is when all of our summer classes kick off. Last announcement, I promise. I have, over the years, become more and more intrigued and invested in the spiritual disciplines. And one such spiritual discipline that I have been kind of invested in is the Lord's Prayer. And this was introduced to me years ago when I started reading the Divine Hours, which will be on the slide. I think, yeah, right there. And what these are is these are prayer books. And they are Protestant-friendly, they are filled with the Psalms, and you pray them and you read through them three times a day. And the intention of them is to focus you. The intention of them is to focus wherever you're at in life and wherever you're at in your day on God. So you pause and you reflect and you pray. And you pray the Lord's Prayer three times a day. So you are investing in this prayer over and over. And I practiced these three Divine Hour books that go throughout the entire year. And it was amazing to how it shaped my words, how it shaped my ears, and how it shaped my eyes. I started noticing things about me that was different than before. I just simply started living differently. And that's because I was investing in something that was shaping me from the inside out. We have, over the past year, been participating in praying the Lord's Prayer together. And I am beyond, I'm going to use the word proud because I don't have another word for it. I am beyond proud of you guys for praying this together with us each and every single Sunday. I know there was some hesitation at first. They're like, wait a second, why are we doing this each day, each Sunday? And I pray that you've been blessed by that. And we're not going to stop in any foreseeable future, but if the time comes for us to take a break from it, we will. But my goal from the very beginning of praying the prayer together is this. We sing aloud together, and when we pray together, it's often one person praying and us praying with that individual, but it's in silence. But when we pray the Lord's Prayer together, we are literally praying together. And there is something deeply profound about hearing your neighbor praying the same words that you are at the same time. There's something drawing together about that. The same thing with the Divine Hours. When you do these three exercises throughout the day, you are praying and you are reading Scripture with somebody on the other side of the world who's participating in the exact same spiritual discipline. Now that's mind-blowing if you let that sink in just for a moment. It might be in a different tongue and it might be in a different time zone, but you are reading and praying Scripture with somebody from Tanzania or the UK or whatever it may be, and you could even be praying the Lord's Prayer together. That is awesome, if you ask me, and extremely powerful and extremely profound. What time is it? I can't even see that clock. Somebody give me a time. 9:48. Awesome. Okie dokie. Last week, we ended our time together as we journeyed through the book of Ecclesiastes with a spiritual exercise, a spiritual discipline of hands open, hands closed, and hands to the ground. And I would invite us to participate in the same hand motions. I know VBS is coming soon, and that's when the hand motions really get going. But we're adults. We can do this. This is not really hard. So as we begin, hands open, and then eyes closed, and then throughout the prayer, we'll clench our fists, and then we'll place our palms down. With hands open and eyes closed, Father, Son, and Spirit, we approach you, and we pray right now, Father, that we would receive the gift of your word. We ask, Father, that this prayer that has been prayed so often and for so long would continue to shape us more and more into the men and women that you want us to be. And Father, with fists clenched and closed, Father, help us to see the areas in life that we're grasping to hold on to, that we don't want to let go of, but you are trying to set us free from. May you name those things in our life that you are trying to break free from us. And with palms to the ground, Father, name the things in our lives that you want to be pushed out of us. And may this prayer that we continue to pray as a body, may it push those things out of our heart and out of our lives. It's through Jesus that we pray and give thanks. Amen. The prayer that has traditionally been known as the Lord's Prayer is found in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. And that's where we'll spend the majority of our time this morning. And it begins not abruptly with Jesus simply saying, "Now guys, this is how you should pray. You've prayed like this for so long, but now I'm here. You pray like this," waving his finger. But the prayer is found in the totality of what's known as the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5 through 7, which those that are continuing to read through the Bible with us, we will be getting into this week. So this week you'll be reading through the Lord's Prayer, which is, of course, the Sermon on the Mount is filled with some of Jesus' most famous and yet at the same time, most unfortunately, kind of ignored or neglected teachings in all of Scripture. And as we begin this morning, I would like for us to begin with the end in Matthew chapter 7 of the Sermon on the Mount, which I think is where Jesus really wanted to begin. Hear these words from Matthew 7, and they'll be on the screen. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Last week, when we journeyed through the book of Ecclesiastes, one of the points that I really wanted to stress home to you guys is this one simple truth about life, and it'll be on the screen. What we invest in shows what we find or hold most dear to us. You guys know this, but we need to be reminded of it. So we're asking the question, how can we be shaped to be, shaped to see, and shaped to live differently today if we invested in the words of the Bible? The world in which the Bible is inviting us to live into. So instead of going to the Bible asking for what it's saying, we chose last week to say, all right, what is the Bible doing? How is it shaping us? How is it forming us? With what new eyes and new ears is the Bible inviting us to be into? So this model prayer from Jesus has the power and authority to shape us more and more into the men and women God desires for us to be. And our eyes to be open our eyes to the mission of God and our invitation to join God in His mission. The Lord's Prayer is designed to empower change in the life of those who are participating in the prayer. Now, I know that's a lot. It's like, oh my goodness, too much. Calm down. Slow down. But unpack this. Open our eyes to the mission of God. Each and every single one of us, as followers of Jesus Messiah, have the opportunity to join God in His mission of reconciliation. That's just the bottom line truth. Each one of us has an opportunity to join God in His work of reconciliation. The question is do we really want to? Because oftentimes we're happy where we're at. Oftentimes we are very content in our normal day-to-day routine of life. God, don't interrupt me from this. I don't want to bother with neighbor or coworker or person at the grocery store or wherever it may be. God, don't interrupt my flow of life. And what the mission of God intently does is it interrupts our flow of life. And God offers us to journey with Him in His ministry of reconciliation. This prayer in the Lord's Prayer, it was not given to us to debate its theology or to look more spiritual. It was given in the context of Matthew 6:5. When you pray, don't look like a bunch of hypocrites. That's the context of what the Lord's Prayer was given in. Is when you pray, don't look like the ones who want to stand and sound religious and be religious and pray religious. Instead, pray like this. Don't focus on coming across as being this super religious person. Let your life, your behavior, your words, your attitude reflect your religious commitments, not your artistic prayers, how you may sound, how you may look. Don't come across like that, because it's not about you. Jesus says, this is then how you should pray. And the Lord's Prayer is really and truthfully an invitation to prayer. That sounds redundant, and it really truly is. But the Lord's Prayer is an invitation to pray. It is an invitation to really look and be in prayer. And what I find so convicting early on in the prayer is how the prayer begins. Our English translations help us none with this. But I believe Jesus was Southern. I believe somehow, some way, he had some Southernness in him. So he says, this is then how y'all should pray. It's plural. It's not you. Jesus, he's talking to a crowd. He's not singling one person out. He says, this is how y'all should pray. He's inviting them into a communal prayer. Jesus begins this life-altering prayer with a command for his followers to live by, and the introductory words are inclusive in two things, intimacy and relationship. How the prayer begins, they are about intimacy and they are about relationship. When we pray like this, we are praying together in such a way that we declare aloud that the Maker of heaven and earth is our Father. And not just our Father, but the Father of all humankind. This prayer starts with being inclusive, not exclusive. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer together, beginning with our Father in heaven, we are aligning ourselves as being in the same family together with Jesus. When Jesus started with Abba, our Father, that wasn't foreign to the Jews of their time. They knew to call God Father. But when Jesus stands before them and he says, this is then how you should pray, our Father, that is inclusive to the core. That is welcome to the family. That is come and eat. Come and sit. Welcome to the family. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer together, beginning with our Father in heaven, we are aligning ourselves. We are shaping our eyes and our hearts to see everyone as either being family or having the opportunity to becoming a part of the family. There's the mission part of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven. Sorry about that. We are shaping our eyes and our hearts to see everyone as either being family or having the opportunity to becoming a part of the family. So to be on mission with God is to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, so that your name would be honored by all of creation. So when the church prays this together, we join with Jesus, whose very life was a hallowing of God's name, who embraced and embodied the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God. And if we want to see what that looks like, we look to Jesus. If we want to see what a hallowing of God's name really looks like, what it means for the kingdom, for the rule and reign of God to look like, we look to Jesus. So as we continue to pray this together, my prayer is that this first statement from Jesus would not just be another one-liner that we pray, but a road towards seeing every human being as having God as their Father with much potential to transforming our life and their life, to bringing honor and glory to his name. And that's all fine and dandy, but what does that look like? How many of you saw in the news this week the school just north of here where the valedictorian, where the graduation class was told, you are not allowed to pray the Lord's Prayer, even though it's been a part of their tradition on graduation day for years and years and years? How many of you saw that news? Okay, here's a picture of the graduating class. The valedictorian was specifically told not to lead the prayer. And guess what he did? He led the prayer anyways. There's something about this prayer that moves and shapes and transforms people. Even so that at a graduation they pray it together and they've done it for years. One of the last scenes in the movie Woodlawn, and if you haven't seen that movie, let me plug it in. It's an awesome movie that you really, really, really need to see. But one of the last things that they do in the movie before the final game, which was one of the biggest high school football games in history, where they had tens of thousands of people coming to a high school game, which is just crazy to think about. But one of the last things that they did before the game actually began, after the national anthem and after all that stuff, is they got out and they prayed the Lord's Prayer together. And the superintendent of the school, you see him jet off to the press box to unplug the mic so they won't pray it together. Because the Jesus movement that had taken over that town was becoming annoying to the superintendent of the school. So he runs up to the press box. He unplugs it. So you can't hear the guy leading the prayer anymore. But instead, what you hear is the crowd praying together. Which is just powerful. It's absolutely moving. As the prayer continues, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The invitation opens for all praying to declare that God's kingdom reign on earth be done in me and through me, and ultimately in us and ultimately through us as it is in heaven. It is both an internal transformation and an external transformation. And this is where we pause and we sit and we just reflect. To ask that God's kingdom come, His reign and rule to come, is to realize, to have our eyes open, that there is work still yet to be done. God is not done with His good creation. God is not done with His people. He wants to continue to mold us and shape us and transform us and then send us out to be about His mission on our daily lives, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our schools, etc. That's what He desires for us, to join Him in that. This section of the prayer invites us to pray and to live into exactly what Jesus Himself was praying and living into. That is for the redemption of the world, for the radical defeat and uprooting of evil, and for heaven and earth to be married at last, for God to be all in all, as Paul says. And we get to join in. That's the beauty of this. That's the beauty of us coming together in our worship, in our prayer, in the time when we sit and we journey through Scripture. Is He wants us to invest in His story. He wants us to buy in. And then He wants to send us out. Because what we do here on a Sunday morning is just a dress rehearsal for the rest of the week. So when we pray for God's kingdom come, for His will to be done, they are synonymous. They are together. For God's kingdom to come, we live into God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. And what a wonderful conversation to have when you start asking each other, what does God's will look like? That's not for one person. That's not for David or myself to tell you, well, this is what God's will is like. That's an awesome conversation for you to have with your wife, or with your brother or sister in Bible class or in life group. What does God's will really ultimately look like? That is a great conversation to have. So I invite you to have those conversations. To go beyond the daily, or this is bills, or this is work, or this is school, or whatever the case may be. But to start asking each other, what does God's will really ultimately look like? For participants in the Lord's Prayer, to pray for God to give us this day our daily bread is to submit to the fact, trust that God will do exactly what He said He would do, and that is provide. That God can be trusted to provide all our needs. And to be on mission is to see that God's will for daily bread is met for those in need. There's the mission part right there. Julie, I'm going to be moving pretty quick. That's the mission part of it. For us as a body and for us individually, we see that God will provide, give us this day our daily bread. And the mission part of it is to see that others' daily needs are met as well. Because if we're praying this together as one, and if this is to be a missional prayer, we're looking with eyes open to who can we bless? Whose daily bread can we be about helping meet? Thus comes the next step in the prayer, and that is the need to be freed from guilt and shame, to be free to be on mission with God. If we flash back just very quickly to Exodus 19, during the Exodus, when God is setting the Hebrews free, one very clear statement he makes to them is he says, I didn't set you free because you're great. I didn't set you free because you're pretty. I didn't set you free because you're powerful or you're skillful or that you're anything at all. I set you free because of me. I set you free because I'm a keeper of my promises. I set you free because you are my people and I love you. I set you free because of that. But I set you free, Exodus 19, verses 4 through 6, so that you could be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. A kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That is missional language in and of itself. So that when people see you, as Dick prayed earlier, they'll ask, why are you so different? Why do you treat me this way or talk this way or behave this way? Why do you live like this? Well, because it's not an arrogant saying at all. I'm a kingdom of priests and I'm a part of a holy nation. But that's ultimately where our allegiance and where our identity is found. Free us from our debts. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Is to be freed from sin and death and guilt and shame. Is to be set free from that which is killing you and preventing you from living into the real life God has in store for you. Jesus said, I have come that y'all may have life and have it to the full, both now and yet to come. It's the same thing with the kingdom of God. It is a now reality that we live into. We live into the rule and reign of God. And yet, we're not blind to this. We know that the fullness of God's kingdom is not here yet. Because there's still evil in the world. There's still death. There's still destruction. There's still injustices going on in our world. So our job, our responsibility, is to be on mission with God until He returns. To be about the undoing of all the evils that go on in our world. All the injustices that go on in our world. For God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We live on mission. We ask God to free us from that which is killing us. And at the same time, we pray that God would free those who have wronged us as well. Living into the freedom that comes from God leads to praying that God will lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There is this expectation that all who are a part of God's mission will face trials, but Jesus' words in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. You will have trouble, but take heart, but be of good cheer, but have courage. Be bold, be brave. I have overcome the world. This verse provides reassurance that we will not face the battles in life alone. When Jesus' ministry and mission began, it began not with a sermon or with healing, but with a testing in the wilderness, according to Luke 4. To pray this part of the prayer is to know that being on mission with God will bring all kinds of obstacles with it. If we are going to join Jesus in His mission, if we're going to join God in His mission, we will live like Jesus. And testings and trials will come. So may this line in the prayer not scare us away from living on mission, but instead give clarity and courage that trials and temptation will come. But we have a deliverer who is at work for the good, His good will and His good reign to be done on earth as it is in heaven. To declare that God's kingdom, God's power, and God's glory are the things in which our hearts desire most. is to bring the prayer to a close in full allegiance to God's will and to God's reign. All the action language found in this prayer cannot be achieved without the power and reign of God in our lives. So the Spirit of God that is at work in all of us leans into the action language of the Lord's Prayer, which seeks to affect that which is prayed for. Let's sit on that for a second. When we pray, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done." The Spirit is working in our hearts and in our lives, opening our eyes and our ears to our world around us to say, "All right, whomever, what might it look like to be on mission with God, to be about His good will and His good reign? What might that look like as the Spirit leans into us?" So when we pray, "Our Father who is in heaven," we are being shaped into seeing every human being as being made in the image and likeness of God. When we pray for God's kingdom to come and God's will to be done, we are praying that God will send us out to be about God's will and reign being done on earth, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, as it is in heaven. When we pray for God to provide our daily bread, we will pray for eyes and hearts to be open and convicted to do something about the hunger and injustices of our world. When we pray for forgiveness of our debts as we forgive our debtors, we are praying to be on mission with God as He goes about freeing us and wanting to free others. When we pray for God to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we are praying that we will be bold in our faith and in our hours of trial and temptation as we wait for the Redeemer to return and to complete what He started. For all these things, we pray, God, that we would be on mission. Now, this is just a kind of throw at you of what the Lord's Prayer is about. And as the months and as the years pass by, this phrase, being on mission, will continue to come up as we continue to unpack what that looks like. But my hope for this morning, as we very quickly just kind of brushed at the hint of the Lord's Prayer, is that maybe, just maybe, when you pray this prayer, you might see it differently. You might hear it differently. And instead of it just being a personal time between you and God, it becomes a communal time with each other. And the prayer is an invitation to be on mission. Jared, if you and your team can come on up, we'll pray. In just a few moments, we'll have an invitation song. And if anyone this morning has any prayers, have any spiritual needs that you might be in need of, you can come forward. Some of our shepherds will be in the back if you need a more private time. But my prayer again is that as we continue to pray the Lord's Prayer together, it's not just a cognitive, intellectual thing where we debate and we look at its theology, but we let the prayer do what Jesus wants it to do. And that's transform us more and more into Him. It's what God wants. It's what God desires for us, is to be like His Son, Jesus. So when we pray together, we'll stand and we'll pray the Lord's Prayer together, and then we'll sing, and the invitation will be open to everyone. So please stand with me. Father, we thank You and we praise You for the gift of this day. Father, we've just briefly and quickly touched the power and the depth of this prayer from Your Son. So our prayer, Father, is that it would continue to mold us and shape us. May our eyes and our ears and our hearts be open and be convicted to be on mission with You in our everyday lives. Help us. Empower us through Your Spirit to lean into this prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come and Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I will change your name. You shall no longer be called wounded outcast, lonely or afraid. I will change your name.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace. To him is to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, power and dominion, both now and forevermore. Amen.